Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
Monday morning health news now. Dr. Thomas Moran is the chief medical officer at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital. Good morning, doctor. Let's talk first about people who may be a little sore on a Monday morning. And the advice is keep moving. This is an interesting bit of research, isn't it?
Yeah. Good morning, Bob. You know, everybody, when you think about it, is we want to sit down and take a little bit of a break, but sitting for prolonged periods of time, especially if you're using a smart device or your cell phone, we have a tendency to lean forward, slump a little bit and slouch, and we end up with a significant amount of people that develop neck pain. Phone use by itself is probably the biggest contributor because it's kind of an unnatural position. You're sitting, your neck is kind of kinked down a little bit, your shoulders are slumped over, and you're holding that device in a specific place so you could read it, and it leads to kind of stress on your neck, which contributes to that neck pain.
This research looked at 25 studies, thousands and thousands of people across the world, so pretty impressive, wasn't it?
Yeah, 43,000 people were involved across 13 countries. And it's almost like a little bit of a common sense, right? It, stay moving, change position a little bit. Just like if you hold your, you know, position for a period of time, it gets a little bit tiring and hurts a little bit. So take a break. If you're working at a desk, get up every once in a while, move around, stretch out a little bit, stretch your neck. Get back to work when you're kind of relaxed a little bit. But those frequent breaks to kind of just kind of limber up a little bit really does make a big difference.
Mm-hmm. Don't sit, but definitely get your sleep. And now we know more about the quality of sleep being as important as how long you sleep, correct?
Yeah. Quality of sleep is really essential to a healthy brain. We go through stages of sleep. A typical full cycle that we go through of the four stages takes about 90 minutes. Many people have sleep disturbances, anywhere running from insomnia, sleep apnea, getting up to have to go to the bathroom at night. Anything that disturbs your sleep can affect that quality. And that quality really you're looking at is deep sleep and REM sleep. So deep sleep is when your brain really slows down, goes into a reparative phase. It's kind of think of your brain cleaning house, starts mm-hmm. cleaning out some of the debris that gets built up, just like with any type of mechanism that works. Your brain works and creates waste. That waste needs to be removed. And that cycle is the deep sleep that you go through. And what is found in some of the research is allowing yourself time to sleep and having good length of sleep allows your brain to do its work to kind of clean house. Yeah. The longer you kind of stay in that stage and the more times you cycle through it during the night, the cleaner your brain is, the healthier you are overall, and it decreases your overall risk for developing dementia later in life.
Yeah, working on this shift, one thing we don't like hearing about is the research that has shown that people who sleep 6 hours or less a night in their 50s, 60s, and 70s have a 30% increased risk of dementia later in life.
Yeah, it makes you a little nervous. I'm right there with you. Get up very early in the morning. And I think that consistency, at least if you have the same time that you go to bed and you have a good, you know, period of time to fall asleep quickly and you get a good deep sleep that's in that time period, that consistency plays a big role to it. But if you're changing your sleep cycle all the time, sometimes it's short or interrupted, you don't kind of get into that consistent phase. And like anything else, just like working out, it allows your brain to kind of do what it needs to do, even if it's a little bit shorter period of time.
Never too late to start sleeping better, is it?
That's right.
With the Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital, Dr. Thomas Moran, we all seem to pay a lot of attention to our cholesterol number, but there's another number we should pay attention to, maybe even more so, right, Doctor?
Yeah, when we get lipid panels, where you go in and get your blood tests and annually each year, they check a bunch of different fats or lipids, one of those being triglycerides. Different than cholesterol. Cholesterol's a fat. cholesterol is more used in, you know, cell construction and hormone develop, hormone use, making hormones. Triglycerides is a type of fat that really is your, you think of it as your storage depot of energy. So when we take in more calories, especially carbohydrates, than we use or burn in our daily use of exercise and just bodily function, we have to store those calories, and those calories get converted to fat, and those are the triglycerides. The higher your excess calories coming in, the more triglycerides that you can have. And that number plays a significant role in your heart health, risk for heart attack and stroke as you go through with just managing your health. Normal levels are about, you know, you want to be below 150. You start getting up above 150 is where your doctor should might get concerned. And there's some things that you could do to really modify that number. Exercise, like we talked about many times, decrease your overall carbohydrate or sugary intake. The more that you burn, the less you're going to need to store. And then there is sometimes just a really good healthy diet of what you're bringing in is good fats in a moderation in your diet will help with it. And if it's really out of control and you have consistently high triglycerides, there's medications that can be utilized to kind of bring that down, just like with your cholesterol.
Is it possible to have a good low cholesterol number but still have a triglyceride number that could be a problem?
Yes. Sometimes people just look at their cholesterol and it's in the normal range, but they're not seeing that their triglycerides are elevated. One of the reasons we make you fast before you take blood tests to check this is if you have a big meal before you come in, your body's going to have excess triglycerides that are out there that are going to kind of get into just from eating. And we want to make sure that your regular state that you're in is fasting, so we make sure we have a good level for it. There are times that people with, you know, just inborn errors of metabolism, they have a genetic makeup that creates them to have more triglycerides. They can come in with very, very high levels of triglycerides and relatively normal levels of cholesterol. Their risk is extremely high. Just think of your blood. It's made up of many different components. If you saturate it with fats, it has more chance to decrease the way that your blood flows, to create extra problems. That fat that is in your blood can, best way to think about, stick to your arteries and create plaques and stuff like that, which create problems down the road for stroke and heart attack.
Good to be aware of your triglyceride number. Let's talk about this major clinical trial involving the weight loss drug Wegovy. What did we learn from this?
Yeah, I mean, we have lots of people are getting put on these GLP-1s, and they're really GLP-1, it stands for glucagon-like peptide. It is a molecule that we have to inject because if you ingest it or you take it in a pill form, there's a your digestive system will just break down that peptide. That's why, so think of insulin. Insulin is a peptide. For years and years and years, we've been using insulin, but it's only injectable form. The reason that is we couldn't come up with a pill, an insulin pill. There's been some recent research that has been done, and a company back in 2018 was actually able to develop a non-peptide that replicated what a peptide would do to the receptors, just like the peptide would hit the receptors and create the effect that we would have to control diabetes or to help with weight loss. This new drug now is oral. So if you think of the amount of people that have diabetes, are overweight, or the other one that we're talking about is fatty liver disease. We just talked about triglycerides, where you have excess fats. Those excess fats in your bloodstream can affect your liver, and you get deposits in your liver, which causes your liver to have problems and doesn't function correctly. These drugs have now been shown to help not only with diabetes, it can actually help with fatty liver disease and reverse the effects of fatty liver disease. And now going into a pill form where you can reach many more people, because some people hate injecting themselves, the cost in the manufacturing are different, and you could reach a much broader population, not only in America, but across the world, to combat these diseases.
And there was another clinical trial about a pill that could work as well as Ozempic for weight loss and blood sugar. Tell us about that.
Right. Yeah, same thing. So the pill form does the same effect as the peptide that we inject, but that pill form is, that's what I was talking about a little bit earlier, is it is a non-peptide that is able to be stable when you swallow it. It doesn't get digested. Mm-hmm. And when it comes in, it hits the receptors, same receptors that Ozempic or Wegovy hit, and it creates the same effect. So that's what allows us to have a pill instead of an injection.
I got it. Well, since we mentioned a little while ago that sitting is bad for you, and I see here in this study, if you sit for 4 hours a day, it increases the risk of neck pain by 45%. I got to get up and take a break, doctor. So we'll talk to you again next week. Thank you very much. Have a good day.
Thanks so much, Bob. Have a great day.
You too.